Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello everyone, it is Red Men News. I am your host Paul Machin, and I'm joined by Simon Fletcher for this one. Si?
Hello. Good? Yeah, afternoon.
It's so weird, these intros. Don't know why I do them, but I've done them. Never mind. Jürgen Klopp's just done his press conference ahead of Liverpool versus Sheffield United this weekend. Some really interesting stuff to talk about there. But before I do, I just want to let you know, of course, that these shows are brought to you in association with The Athletic. We've got a fantastic offer with them at the moment, theathletic.co.uk/redmennews. Get 50% off your yearly subscription, and the first month is free as well. Some fantastic writing on there, interesting features, Q&As as well, which I'll expand on in a moment. But obviously you've got James Pearce is there, Si Hughes is there, and some of, if not the best sports writers on the planet right now, covering all of the Premier League clubs and the wider footballing world as well. And you can get involved with all that great written content with no pop-ups or any of those annoying adverts. A wonderful, clean user interface and great sports writing. I mentioned it, we've got Rafa Benitez did a Q&A yesterday. Some really interesting stuff in there. Some daft stuff, but which is why I kind of like it. Si, you've got him like talking about your bits and pieces. People throw some mad questions in there, and he took a few. He's asking how Solomon Rondon's adjusted to China, which is interesting to some people and what have you. Great question from a guy called Lee H, asking if there's a snobbery in football regarding the way the game should be played. Yeah, which is great. Rafa talks about Tottenham and using Fernando Llorente in the Champions League. But there's a good question here. So obviously you don't want to give away the game too much, you want you to go over there and read it for yourself. Henry R said, "Hi Rafa, who's been your favourite player to manage and why?" And he says, "In England, it has to be Steven Gerrard because he had all the potential and did well for us. In terms of my favourite player, it's not fair to choose because there are so many. I had a very good relationship with a lot of players and I can tell you I'm still in contact with a lot of them, especially the good professionals." I mean, it's Rafa all over that, isn't it? Name check Steven Gerrard, Sal, but also basically says, basically intimates the ones he's not in contact with.
Amateurs.
Fell below his standards.
It's interesting because when you hear Gerrard talk about Rafa was so cold with him, wasn't he? And Gerrard said, but it actually pushed him on to be a better player because he was like, if I'm playing like this and I'm still not getting a smile off Benitez or a well done, all I'm getting is, right, you did this wrong and you did this wrong. It made him a better player. And that's his managing style. And it definitely worked at Liverpool, didn't it?
Absolutely. And he talks a little bit about Peter Crouch because he's talked about his involvement and what have you in the 2007 Champions League final. Go and get that article. As I say, it's on theathletic.co.uk/redmennews if you want to go and sign up. Highly, highly recommended. Well, let's move on to the press conference then. Some interesting stuff. We'll go first and foremost with James Pearce. Let me just find this tweet. Because he starts off by talking about, obviously, the fitness of the players and what have you available. The really big news that we've got today is that Sadio Mane trained yesterday, which is very encouraging. I think we all expected as much, but good to hear it.
Yeah, I think it said he had like a bit of a dead foot or something, so it sounded like he got kicked and that. They want to get Mane in the team, don't they? He's been so important for us this season. He's scored the opening goal quite a few times and he's just been unbelievable. They'll do anything to get Mane into the side at the minute.
Yeah.
And so the fact that he's trained yesterday tells me he will be starting tomorrow.
100%. And I think the news we were really hoping to hear, Klopp said about Alisson Becker. He said in the past 2 weeks, Ali has progressed really well. Credit to the medical department. He said that he could be back in team training this Sunday, which is just amazing.
Yeah, it is. It seemed in the last couple of weeks that he has. Cause until then, you were here, and we still don't know when he's going to be back. No one seems to really know because that maybe he still had some swelling, maybe he hadn't been training, so they hadn't been able to test him properly. Mm-hmm. But over the last couple of weeks, you've been hearing more and more. Yeah, he's been training better. He's been doing this. He's been doing that. In fact, he'd been training with the keepers. I know. So the fact he's going to be in team training, that's good. I'm interested. When do you think he's going to be? Do you think he might play against Leicester next week?
The good thing is, and there's a really interesting thing, because he talks about Adrian in this, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And he references how brilliant he's been, and he basically says, like, if there's no one available, we rush people back.
Yeah.
You know, like, we've got no choice. We'll rush people. We'll take a few days off the rehab and what have you. But with the likes of, because Adrian's performing so well, he basically said there's no rush. So he's going to have to play at some point. But
it's interesting because we play Leicester next week, and then there's a break. And then it's Man United away, the first game back. So I was wondering, it's something you don't see very often. Maybe he subs out Alisson on with half an hour to go with the Leicester game. He might do. You don't want to throw someone in cold at Old Trafford. That's the worry. And even though it is Alisson, and you know he's got the mentality, you don't know what he might be like in a game situation.
Yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised to see him sub Alisson on. It depends how the Leicester game goes.
I mean, I would be astounded if we subbed the goalkeeper on in a competitive game of football for nothing other than, for the minute. Okay, like, because you. I can understand why her base logic behind it, but. Like, you're not going to give up a substitution to bring the goalkeeper on. Like, what if someone gets injured in the last, like, 10 minutes?
It depends if we're winning. It depends on the situation. If it's 0-0, you're not going to be summoning your goalie on, are you? But if you go 3-0 up at half-time,
you might be onto something. Yeah. You might be onto a new way of bringing players, but goalkeepers back in. Now, you're not dropping him in cold to Man United as such, are you? Because if he's fit and available for Leicester, you put him on the bench and he goes out and he does all the warm-ups and he goes through all the normal pre-match stuff. And then he's got 2 weeks and you probably put a behind closed doors game or two on and you play him and you train him hard and then he's just ready.
Yeah.
He's properly ready for Man United. Whereas I think you're right, I think coming in from the cold is he's not even been involved in match days. You know, so there's a chance to do that, but yeah, I mean, let us know actually in the comments what you think on that. Some interesting stuff. So the only other bit of fitness news is that Shaqiri is undergoing rehab still, so he's not going to be available for
the weekend. I'm a bit for him.
Yeah,
because he would have probably started that game in midweek, wouldn't he? And that could if he'd scored in that game, that might have been his chance to kick on. He'd been struggling to get into the side because the front three have been playing so well. You know, he looks better in a 4-2-3-1, and we're not going to be changing formation when we're winning every single game. Mm-hmm. So I felt a bit sorry for him. The other day it was his chance and he got injured a couple of days before it. It's hopefully he can get back soon.
Well, it's interesting because it opens the door, I think, potentially for at least one of the young kids to play. Because did he mention Origi? I didn't hear anything.
I think he said Divock's not available.
Okay, cool. Well, we'll know closer to the time on that, which is not too far from now, of course, given that the game is 24 hours away. But on the youngsters, I thought it was crazy. He was asked a lot of questions, obviously, and he has been because of how many kids played in midweek. He was keen to extol the virtues of Harvey Elliott, and he said on the youngsters, as James Pearce has got here on Twitter, they have to learn a lot and develop a lot. We aren't in doubt about these boys. The best news is they have all the time in the world. But he also was a really great sentence that he used for me, and he said, they're ready for the Premier League. They are. He said, they're ready. But he said, we're not preparing these lads for one Premier League game. We're preparing them for a Premier League career, which I thought was brilliant. And it goes into this, no need to rush kind of scenario.
Yeah, they were all very good the other day. I was really impressed with Kelleher in goal and Elliot were probably the two standout ones. Curtis Jones gets man of the match on the telly, I believe. And then Hoover gets a goal.
Yeah.
And who else?
Brewster.
Brewster, surprisingly, was actually probably the weakest of the five of them. But I thought he was quiet first half.
Yeah.
But then second half he came out and he was running around a lot more, trying to make himself available, trying to defend from the front a lot more. And I think that might have just been a bit. He will have been nervous for that game because the pressure's being put on him. Really, everyone's been told Brewster's the next best thing. He gets the number 24 rather than number 50 or 60 or whatever he had.
Yeah,
and he's on the photos with the new kit and that.
Yeah.
So the pressure was on him, and I think he probably was nervous. But that second half, the way he played in the second half compared to the first, was enough to show me that okay, that first half, the pressure's gone now. That's the first half of football that you're playing for Liverpool. That's over now, and now you can kick on.
Oh, that's it. And it's one of those. It's very, very difficult to impress, I think, as a centre forward, because you're relying on the service of others. Mm. And it was something Klopp said about it. He said, you know, the team performed reasonably well, but in terms of like people making the runs and draw, you know, the drawing of the space and all that kind of stuff, that's not there because they are kids. And they don't have the level of experience and they don't have the bravery necessarily to go and do what's been very well drilled with the senior lads. But I thought he was fine, wasn't he? One person who stood out and got a great deal of credit to gain from Klopp in the press conference, James Milner. We've got it here over on our own at the Redmen TV Twitter account. Klopp talking about, said Milner's very important. He's missed the professional and he still has a few years left in his locker. Now, he was asked about his contract situation, how important is he, and you know, would we look to renew his contract? And he went on big time, didn't he, saying how the beauty of James Milner is, you know, some people might be like, MK Dons, oh great, thanks, but he's like, nah, it's a game of footy, I want to play footy. He said he had these, you know, a bunch of kids around him.
And he also understood how important he was in that game. And I think he said, we play five kids and six experienced players. It doesn't work without players like Milner in there. And you get to man of the match, you get a goal, even though it was a bit of a lucky goal. Does he get the assist as well?
I think he does.
Yeah, he gets the assist for Hoover as well. Mm-hmm. He was fantastic. I was made up with him, and he is so important. I love James Milner. I love watching him play. I love how much he is to the side. I love him on Twitter and Instagram as well. I love watching him in interviews. He's just the perfect professional, the kind of player that you want in the team, and Liverpool should be doing everything to get him a new contract.
Absolutely. Well, look, he's 33 years old, you know, so he's entered the tail years of his career, of course, but it is they're the important things. And what Klopp said about the contract situation was basically this: I don't discuss these things in this room, which again, I just love that, just the laying the law down and stuff, you know. Clearly they understand his value. He went out and spelled out everything that he kind of does and he brings to the table. But so it wouldn't shock me to see him. And you know, he's the kind of player that, for me, when was the last player who retired at Liverpool? You know what I mean? Like we've let a player just
Carragher.
Go, yeah, exactly. You know, pretty much.
But
you know,
Gerrard was after Carragher.
But Gerrard didn't retire at Liverpool.
Oh, no, he didn't.
You know,
he goes off
and does that. Yeah. So it's very rare that players do that these days, because maybe they get faded out and they want to go and play more footy and whatever. And Milner, I think he's got so many years left in him that he might well find, look, I'm 37-year-old James Milner can probably still do a job in the Championship at this, you know, in that point. So that's still 4 years away.
That he likes the idea of going back to Leeds as well, doesn't he?
Yeah, but I'd have no problem with James Milner getting a lifetime contract with Liverpool, because what he does off the pitch, he's got like the next Ronnie Moran about him for me. You know, like he's the kind of guy who will be 45 years old in pre-season training and still running rings around the kids, because that's the kind of guy he is. The one person who actually got another lot of praise in the press conference, which was I thought was good, was Joel Matip. He was referenced by the manager, and he talked about the fact that we picked him up. And let me see if I can just find the quote on that one. But to paraphrase, he basically said, Joel Matip, like, you know, he's come on, he's matured, but it's no surprise to him that he's matured, because look, he was playing for Schalke when he was 18 years old.
Yeah, he's a talented player. I remember when he first came in for the free, we were all like, wow, what a player he is. I think we probably didn't know exactly then what a truly great centre-half looked like, because we haven't been watching Virgil van Dijk.
Yeah.
But he came in and he was so calm on the ball. And he wasn't amazing defensively, but he wasn't playing in an amazing defence either. Certainly not at the level of defence he's at now, and the goalkeeper behind him wasn't as good. But I thought his first season he was really good, and then he dropped off a little bit, and that was, it was clear to see that Klopp thought that as well, because we went from being our first choice centre-half, and then he dropped down the pecking order a little bit. Joe Gomez and Lovren both went ahead of him. He got a chance when Gomez and Lovren were injured last season, and he hasn't looked back from there, has he? He's been fantastic. He'd been pretty much faultless.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, James Pearce here saying, Joel has always been an incredible talent. He played for Schalke as an 18-year-old boy. He grew and developed in a world of big transfer fees. To sign someone like him on a free transfer was incredible. One of the best pieces of business we've done. And it's funny because he says, maybe the Bundesliga hasn't got the respect that it deserves in this country. But what he's saying is, like, don't be shocked by this, because Schalke's a good team, Bundesliga is a good league. He's been playing at a high level for 10 years now, so it shouldn't be surprised. But I think we do have our blinkers on these things sometimes, don't we? Not Liverpool fans, because obviously we judge him by the football we've seen him play for Liverpool. But he's kind of saying that the wider world, you know, what a good player and what a talent he is ultimately. But yeah, I think it's the best quote for me that came out of the whole thing, and Dave Maddox got this, and I'll just get this up on screen for you, for those of you watching this right now. He was asked, because Chris Wilder's done his press conference and he was keen to praise Jurgen Klopp, and he talked about what Sheffield United are going to have to do when coming up against them. And the question was posed to Klopp along the lines of, well, that's your philosophy, isn't it? Like, everyone you defend from the front, etc. And Klopp said, everybody is responsible for everything. I love that.
Yeah.
And it's right, isn't it, when you watch this team play and you understand why it's so difficult to find a replacement for Roberto Firmino and find lads who are as good as Sadio Mane and Mohamed Salah, because try finding lads who are that good at football but also don't mind bombing back 60 yards and putting tackles in as well. Because you can find talented football. Look at Arsenal. Look at Mesut Ozil as an example of this. Probably as gifted a playmaker as there is in football. But could he play in Liverpool's system?
No, because he likes having like a free role, and there is no free role in this team. It's why you can drop players in who are maybe inexperienced or maybe haven't looked that good. Mm-hmm. The goalie's a good example. He hasn't looked that good for West Ham. West Ham didn't even want him as the first choice, and he comes in and looks a world beater.
Yeah.
It's because he's playing in a team where everyone's working for each other.
Yeah.
It's why you can bring in Trent at right back, mm-hmm, when he's only a kid. He's got little experience whatsoever, because the rest of the team will help him out.
Yeah.
And there's so many examples of that through the team. Shaqiri looks shit at Stoke, and then he comes in the first half of last season, looks brilliant. Origi, there's so many examples of it, and it's great to see.
Absolutely. Just want to draw your attention to some things. I'll bring it up on screen for those of you watching on YouTube, and I will be as descriptive as possible for those of you listening in the podcast form. We've been nominated for a Northwest Football Awards. We are up for the hat-trick, the two. Again, video version are behind us, one on top and one on bottom. We want to win this award again. It's a public vote, so it's up to you guys at home to go and vote for us to make it happen. I think we beat Toffee TV by something like 15 votes last year. And basically, I really like Ross. He does some good work for us. He handles the social media by and large. He's on holiday this week. He might even be watching this. It's vital for the future of him having a job that we don't lose this award. So go over to northwestfootballawards.com and you can click the vote tab at the top. And then there's a host of people involved. You put your name, surname, email address in. And then you've got, you can select your Premier League Player of the Year.
I think there's a Liverpool player for pretty much everyone. League One and League Two, there's not. But you've got young players, women's players.
Yeah.
And then obviously the big one at the bottom of the fan media.
So
channel.
You can vote for the like of a Virgil van Dijk. You can vote for this rising star. So you can vote for Trent Alexander-Arnold in there.
You've got that in the bag, surely.
Surely. The thing is, you always find, this is why you can't take your eyes off the prize in these things, because you always find these awards, like it's like the League Championship, League One, League Two, they actually do really well in these awards, because they really go for it. They get all the fan base behind them. I don't think Liverpool promote this enough, but we will promote this. And make sure in voting for Liverpool, you also vote for us as well. So there you go. Fan media channels down the bottom. We're up against full-time Devils, Man City Superbia, Rovers Rearguard, and the Pie at Night. I can't lose to full-time Devils. I can't. So please do go over there and vote for us. And like, I've never heard the other three, but that's why we've got to be careful, because you know there's been complacency. Full-time Devils and Toffee TV have been complacent about this in the past because they think they're too big for awards. We're not too big for awards, and we're not too big to beg. These other lads will be going at this hell for leather, I reckon. So we've got to make sure that we do it. And you just click. I would strongly suggest unticking the receive marketing stuff, and then click and cast your vote. But yeah, go over and vote for us to win our third the hat trick Northwest Football Award. That would be genuinely amazing. Thank you. So yeah, thank you very much to the Athletic for sponsoring this video. Do go to theathletic.co.uk/RedmanNews to get that offer and read the Rafa Q&A and a whole host of other brilliant articles away. Thank you very much for watching and for listening to this. Redman News will return next Monday. Ta-ra.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape.
And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety.